welcome to the Motorcycles and Misfits at the Recycle Garage. This is the podcast, and we're in the house with me, Eliza, and we got Douglas.
Hello.
We got Megan.
Hey.
And Lucas, who just ran out of the room.
He went to go pee.
He went to go shishi.
And if you're wondering who's chewing now, it's me.
But at least she's not sniffling as much.
But I do have a cold, so sorry for the grunts, groans, snorts, all that.
Farts.
Oh. Can we take a side note? I forgot to tell you. So my friend Megan, you know, Enzo's mom, just ran the New York Marathon last week.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. That's why she left the party.
Mm-hmm. I remember that now.
And I was asking her how she was feeling through it. She's like, it was so hard. And like in the second half, like, you get this feeling like you have to shit. And she's like, I didn't know what I should do. Like, oh, I don't know. And about like 6 miles from the end, she saw somebody held up a big sign that says, don't trust the fart. And then she saw three runners with shit in their pants.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Your everything, after running so much and everything, your body becomes so fatigued that all of that control goes kind of down the drain.
You just pulverize your poop, or what?
You just lose a lot of control over a lot of muscle function.
That sounds a little
And we have Lucas in the house.
What up?
There we go. I just thought that was an awesome sign, and I want to put that in the garage. One that says, don't trust your farts.
Don't trust the fart.
Don't trust the fart.
Don't trust the fart.
So,
That's great.
We have been
busy.
BC. Sage came by today.
Well,
right.
Let me start with
you weren't here.
I wish you were here, Douglas. Let me just say,
should have been.
I wish you were here. Sage was the first one to show up with his parts. Yay!
He actually got all the parts and shit.
It was an $11 throttle assembly.
Okay.
No, $13.
That's good.
So, yeah, so we started working on that shortly thereafter. Robert showed up with a pooch.
It was so cool.
Robert.
He's a slug.
Slug.
He's a slug of anarchy.
One of the slugs of
slugs
anarchy.
Slugs of anarchy.
So.
This Sunday at 7.
He brought this kind of rad ass.
I've got a picture of it here. I'll show you. It's actually pretty cool and it's really fucking loud.
And it was a 49cc, but it's been bored out to a 70. But it does
bored out to a 70?
But it does not require registration, because still registered as a 49.
Right. Cool.
So it hauls ass.
Yeah.
It hauls slug.
And so...
he's got like another two bikes to figure out.
I said, well, you know, pull the carbs, got to clean the carbs, whole thing. Then Flip-Flop showed up. In Flip-Flops.
Yeah.
True his name. I've never seen that guy not in flip-flops. When he's at that.
I think one time we've seen him without flip-flops.
And if you recall, heresy. His Rebel 250,
right?
He came here to get he changed the clutch, and when he left, he only had two gears.
Right.
He's been riding around for 2 weeks with two gears.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a 250.
After a clutch change.
Yeah. So he showed up. So now I've got three guys who don't know anything. And I'm running between them, and I'm just
like... called me, like, four
Where's
times.
Megan? Where's Megan? I need help.
I slept in, sorry. I was tired after yesterday.
I thought of calling Rich or somebody for help. I was just like, oh. I was just running back and forth. So Seiji, we had to, put his throttle assembly on, and of course, the last throttle assembly, the guy who installed it, He ground the tab down that goes up into the bars, because he had to replace the bars but never drilled them out. Just ground it down. So his new one had the tab and it wouldn't clamp on right. So then I'm like, well, you need to drill it out. And either you have to take all the bodywork off to get the drill in, or let's just take everything off the bar, take the bar off.
Clip-ons.
It became an all day.
And then he drilled it in the wrong spot.
He drilled it in the wrong place twice.
Twice. And it was like kind of too close to make another hole, but it kind of ended up working.
Oh, so that's why it like kind of flops around a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
And then he was, like, trying to put it all together, and he hadn't tightened down the whole assembly, so he's, like, trying to put it all together, and it's, like, flopping around. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Two bolts. Here you go. Put it... It's okay.
So, yeah, finally Megan showed up. I'm like, okay, he's got this going on. I need you to do that, and I'm doing this. It was a little bit relief.
But the bike's gone, so that's good.
So
it's rideable.
Okay, so we had to fix the throttle assembly. We did that. His exhaust. Wobbles. Apparently, the attach point, the rear, is gone.
Yeah, we noticed that.
Sorry, I'm getting a little phlegmy right
now. He lost his bracket. So.
I thought you were getting a little emotional for missing bike parts.
It's not build up. You guys take it.
Lucas, you test rode it.
Yeah, I test rode his bike. I mean, I just went over it, like, visually with him. So I just, you know, asked him about his problems and everything. We checked it out. You know, he had the proper amount of oil. You know, I looked at his throttle assembly and everything. I noticed, he told me his bike idles kind of hot, and I noticed he had a pretty low amount of coolant in there. So hopefully he'll put more of that in there. I told him to go grab some. But Liza told me to test ride his bike to make sure it wasn't a death trap. Because for those who don't remember, this guy high-sighted it, so we're pretty uncertain about its rideability. So I got up on it. It's, I think, like a 02 ZX6R with an 06 engine, so it's got the slightly taller, slightly longer stroke. So I used to have an 05 ZX6R, so, I mean, it was a blast getting back on it. Because, you know, it had, compared to my 600RR, it had, you know, buttloads of torque, so I was just driving it around, like, being as squiddy as possible. I was just being fucking ridiculous.
How fast did you get it up to?
I'm not gonna say that.
Yeah, I'll say it. Didn't you say 140?
I was maybe exaggerating.
Maybe exaggerating, hopefully. Yeah.
And
took a freshly crashed bike over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. It ran pretty well. I mean, it was kind of a bitch to get it started, you know. I mean, I didn't realize it actually had, like, a fucking carburetor on it, and I'm like, you know, what the hell, because he said it was an 06 engine, so I'm like, why the hell is there, like, a choke? But
yeah, he needs new tires.
Yeah, that, well, really, I noticed a few things were wrong with it, aside from the fact that the bike ran pretty phenomenally. You know, the engine was all good, transmission was good, everything was good. It didn't handle right, and it was a really weird experience for me, because I've never ridden a bike that behaved quite like it, and I'm not sure if it was the result of a crash or what, but I just was going, you know, I did, like, the roundabout, and I went on Westcliff and stuff, and what would happen was, as I was leaning into the turn, you know, I'd, like, try to get my knee down to see how well it could actually corner, I noticed, okay, well, it kind of takes a lot of pressure to keep this bike, you know, going into a turn, so I'm like, whatever, maybe it's just like that, you know, it's a sport bike, so. But then I noticed once I started doing the roundabout, like, you just start to drift towards the outside. And I noticed that even on steady throttle, the bike wants to stand up again. So I would be going into a turn, and I'd press the, you know, left clip on in, lean in, and then it would just start standing up. And then I'd, like, press it more to go down, and then go back up. It was really weird and honestly kind of freaky, because even though you felt like you're pointing it in the right direction, you'd end up shooting off further to the right, you know, close to the curb, and I was like, oh shit, so something was messed up with that. We brought it back here, and I looked at his tires, and they were, like, dry and flaky. They were not getting grip at all. I mean, they were like clay. It was kind of shitty. I don't know how old they are, but they gotta be years old, and he said he never changed them, so.
Well, he's only had the bike for a month or two.
But I like your theory of, and they may have been heat cycled through.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Because they had plenty of tread. But he told me he got the bike from a dude in Arizona. He had it in Arizona. It had an Arizona, like, custom frame on it. It's not the original.
And he rode it up here from San Luis Obispo through Paso Robles and Bradley, and it gets to be, like, 110 up there.
Yeah.
And the road is so hot, and, like, the asphalt melts, so I'm sure the ride up here was not conducive to tires.
It was not kind to it, yeah. No. And, because, I mean, they weren't, like, all, you know, ratted out, and they weren't, like, rock hard. But they were just, like, flaky. They weren't good. And so I think I figured, you know, it's probably just been heat cycled through, all the oil and the tire's gone. So it's just, like, clay. And it something's wrong there. But I'm concerned maybe his frame might be a little bit fucked up. Because I don't know why else the bike would want to stand up when you're going through a turn like that. I don't know if it's just specific
to that. Well, he said, when I was relaying your information, he said, Yeah, it hasn't felt right. So this is good information now.
Yeah. Maybe his forks are slightly bent or something. I didn't check him that closely, but I said, you know, you got to... I test the suspension. It wasn't too sloppy or too firm or anything, but it felt weird, especially on left turns. So I'm wondering if there's something bent or slightly abused or something.
He was also missing the bolt, the pivot bolt for the clutch lever.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had to put one in there.
Okay. That explains why it was way out of adjustment, so... When I first got on the bike, you know, when you're riding a bike that you haven't ridden before, like, the first thing you gotta do is find out where the clutch engagement point is. So, I held in the clutch lever, and then I just slowly backed it out, and I found out the engagement point was, like, 5 microns from, like, holding it all the way in. So I'm just like, okay, I think we're gonna have to, like, fix that. And so we just did, like, the little knob on the lever, you know, and we adjusted it out to a reasonable point. And I always do... split finger clutching, so.
Basically, Sage was getting a lesson today in...
Everything.
Buying used bikes from somebody who makes them look really pretty and
right,
nice.
Right. Buying a cheap-ass sport bike is a bad idea, because something's gonna get fucked up. And you're gonna be out a shitload of money eventually.
Yeah, just seeing shortcuts on it. I mean, it might be better off as a race bike, and might be worth that money for as a race bike, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he said it was some guy's... race bike. I don't know. I think he said he never raced it, but I would never buy a bike that may have been raced, even a possibility. You know, I bought a dude's track day bike, not the same as a race bike, but even that thing was kind of clapped out. So, long story short, I had to sell that thing because I was just like, I don't feel like spending $5,000 to fix it right now. So, and the only other thing I noticed was that he didn't have a chain guard, and I don't know how hard he rides or whatever, but my boot kept catching the chain, and I'm like, dude, you really need to get a chain guard.
Right. I'm gonna lose that foot.
Yeah, for sure, dude. It kind of scared me the first time. But, I mean, other than that, it looks okay. And I told him, you should just pull all the fairings off. I mean, it doesn't even have fucking air boxes on it. It should just be a Street Fighter, you know.
He had no idea what that was.
I didn't have to explain what a Street Fighter was.
Yeah. I mean, the guy has a dirt background, and he's also, like, 20 years old, so...
I knew what a Street Fighter was when I was 20.
When I was 20, like, all the months ago.
All
of
the year ago.
Back in my day.
I wanted to recap. We also had... So I mentioned Robert was here with that moped. So here's the deal, though. I'm helping him... We finally figured out that the carb was okay, but once we... All right, squeaky butt, cut it out. Once we pulled the air filter out, it started up.
Wasn't getting enough air.
Huh?
Yeah. What'd you say, Megan?
It wasn't getting enough air.
What did you say?
You don't say.
And so next thing I know, he's like, and gone. And when he came back, I went, dude, we all get to ride it too. We don't just fix it and leave.
Share the wealth.
So he came back with his
FC6.
Mm-hmm. It looks pert near brand new.
Yeah, he said he got it 2 weeks ago for $3,500.
That was a good deal.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what new? Can he be needing on this? Well, he wanted to, he put heated grips on and wanted to move the switch for the heated grips. Because the bolts that hold on the triple tree where you used it to attach the switch mm-hmm. kept coming out. I said, why don't you try Loctite?
That's what I told him yesterday on our ride. He was like, this keeps coming out. I was like, Loctite. He was like, oh, that's a good idea. Yep. Told him that yesterday, too.
And then he went, his whole throttle assembly, like Sage's, was sliding also. So it turns out he took his... off last week to do something with the bars, bolted it back on, unaware that there's a tab and a hole, mm-hmm. tightened it and snapped that tab off.
Oh,
too.
Boy. Fuck.
So I gave him some glue. For you, the glue.
Get a glue. Yeah. With yeah. the glue.
So he was just kind of, you know, putzing. But what I wanted to share with you is Flip Flop and his sad, sad, woeful story today.
What happened to Flip Flop?
Well, we're thinking, okay, I said, you got 2 gears, but the clutch works, so let's take everything off that you took off before. We're just going to work on this side cover. Just take everything out, lay it out, since you now know how everything goes back together, and we'll see what's there. Behind the clutch basket is the shifter fork assembly.
Right. Remember that thing that was that rod that we had to stick back in there?
Yeah.
When we put the CB400 back together?
Yeah.
That's what was...
And we realize it's not moving right. So then we spent a couple hours of, you know, taking that whole assembly apart and understanding how it works and getting things back on in the right alignment. And after a while, I said, okay, it seems to be going through the gears now, but now you got to put the clutch, everything back together. Puts it back together. And, you know, do the whole thing or let the gasket maker dry for an hour. Mm-hmm. Oh, he also, when he showed up, he said, and there's a problem with my battery because the bike won't start and I have to keep push starting it. Okay, well, take your battery off, finish that, and then we'll attack that.
Yeah.
He takes his battery off, brings it in, it reads 12.2 volts. You know,
right.
Like, okay, battery's not the problem.
Well, it should be around 12.8.
No, it was plenty. It was 12 point something.
All right.
That's not the problem. It was probably a loose connection or something.
Okay.
Gets the bike, puts the clutch together, puts the battery in, gets the oil in, hits the starter, the bike starts up. It's a wonderful world. Until he realizes his clutch lever has just got slack in it. It's not actuating anything anymore. It's just
flopping around.
What now?
Hanging out.
Well, the bike is still here.
Did you not attach everything? Because there's the spindle that presses the clutch basket apart and together when you pull the clutch.
No, it's a different type of assembly.
Okay.
Weird.
On this one, the clutch lever is on the inside of the clutch cover. It operates something which pushes on the basket. Now, excuse me, the reason when he came in and we had the bike banded exploded view of the clutch for his bike was on here is I said, well, obviously now that you've put it back together, you missed something. Something's in the wrong place. I forgot to mention too, the clutch spring holder, instead of having separate washers for each one, it's this square plate with holes in the four corners. So it's just one giant washer, let's say. When he was attaching it, you know how I always tell him, don't tighten each spring too much. You got to do a little at a time to go around.
Right.
He snapped two of the corners off somehow.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
You always alternate corners. That's just how you do it. Yeah. So then it goes down evenly, because if you do it all on one side, it's just going to break.
He had successfully done that.
Twice.
A few weeks ago when he replaced the clutch out, but something got messed up in the gearing. We don't know how. This time, we take it apart and he fixes the gearing, but now the clutch won't operate.
So you're waiting for that
clutch spring. And he broke that part, but I'm not sure that that part is the problem. It doesn't make sense why there's slack. I said, I don't know, but here's Bike Bandit and it's $12 for that part.
Mm-hmm.
And here's an expanded view. Make sure you put every washer on the right side of whatever.
Right.
I don't know. It just turned into get a ride home and start again. Yeah, exactly. It's like each time something goes horribly wrong.
It's never a fun endeavor when you arrive somewhere by bike and leave somewhere on foot.
He left on the back of Donut's bike.
Oh, yeah.
In his flip-flops and t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I don't know with flip-flop spike. We'll see. But we had a new girl here today named Jake. So,
from State Farm?
What are you wearing, Jake?
Khakis.
So,
how old is she? What?
I was about
18, maybe?
I'm not sure. So, all right.
She's pretty young.
Here's the story.
If not younger.
The guy who brought the scooter, whose name I can't remember, but he works with Dominic and Katrina and Leif. Oh, Leif dropped by today. Oh,
with his new bike.
Too. All right, hold on.
Don't get sidetracked here. Someone asked about Leif's bike too.
So the guy who works with Dominic, and he's the one who had that scooter that we now have. What do you guys call that? A motorized?
It's
death trap.
You mean the one that you like sort of sit on, right? It's
with a lawnmower.
It's a mobility scooter.
Hardly. It's gonna kill
wheels.
You.
The it wheels will, are the size you, of shopping
carts. It'll make you less
need
mobile.
It'll make you need a mobility scooter.
Mobility scooter.
No, it's like the kind you would see like teenagers riding, and they're super loud, and they go. Brrr.
Is it like a?
What
motorized
is it like?
It's just a gas-powered scooter. That's really all it is. You know.
Yeah, but I don't want to confuse it with an actual scooter. This thing, the wheels are like 5 inches.
It's like a Razor scooter.
Yeah, it's like a Razor scooter with a motor.
And
a
motor.
Yeah.
It's the new Death Trap. Anyway.
A bicycle seat.
It's his girlfriend that he brought her daughter. And they had come by the shop once before and said that her daughter wanted to learn. So they came, dropped off the scooter, and then dropped off the daughter. I went, okay, we'll leave her here. I almost wanted to say, like, I charge $8.50 an hour.
Like, what is pet or what?
What is babysitting rates now?
Definitely above that.
I'm gonna need a bonus.
I used to make $1.50 an hour babysitting.
I make
back when bread was 5 cents.
I know.
Get a hamburger for a nickel, man, a nickel.
Gumballs were a penny. So she's cool. Just that first time being here, awkward, where do I stand?
I remember it.
Thing, right? And so then I just started, get out of my food, Josie. All right, go ahead and eat it. I just started doing that. Go talk to people. Go ask if anyone needs help. Just stand around. You'll get put to work. So she's just a nice chick. I don't know how old she is. Maybe late teenager?
Yeah. Like, I guess 18 would be a pretty good guess.
Everything I asked her to do for me, she said thank you.
She's been well-conditioned.
Yes. So we got a new, like a new Zoe, I guess. And so, let's see, that covers her. Leif came by on his new bike. Okay. So remember when he put his KZ1000 customized police bike up on Craigslist for the price of...
$5,555. Yeah.
And we were like, no fucking way he's getting that.
Yeah,
right?
No way.
So, what do you think he sold it for?
Well, he told me what he sold it for.
Oh, okay.
Don't spoil it. I don't know.
How much do you think he sold it for?
You should know that when I asked him, I said, "Sal, you think he'll get that much?" I said, "What's your bottom line?" He said, "35." He said, "That's what I was going to ask, but someone told me to ask more, and then you can always
take
less."
I was the one who said that.
So he said 35 was the bottom line. What do you think he got for it?
Four.
$2,500.
He does not
know
how to
make
a deal.
Hey.
Yeah, blow it the other way.
You should have had me sell it. I could have been like, man, you are paying.
I think $2,500 is fair for that bike.
But you don't want to be
custom, quote unquote, but I mean, it's.
Well, custom could go either way. I mean, smart buyers see custom and they're like, okay, that automatically means it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, they themed it.
Yeah, custom usually means like rat bike.
Yeah. So. Like, I crashed it and then I custom removed the side covers.
He bought a ZX750.
He
bought a ZX750 for $1,500.
Yeah.
That looks
what's wrong with it?
Really nice.
Turned on, he rode it here from the city, apparently.
What year is it? Just a few years old, right? Huh?
Yeah, I can't remember.
If I had to guess, I'd say maybe 15 years old.
Because they don't make 750s. I think they stopped.
It's like a 736
or something.
They
don't race
like
the 750s anymore. So
they haven't been racing 750s for like 12 years or something. So it's got to be kind of
old,
you know?
I'm a little suspicious. There is light rust on the front end. And I said, how many miles on? He goes, I'm not sure exactly because these are replaced instrument cluster.
The guy told him 28,000, 29, something
Why
like
does
that?
Somebody replace an instrument cluster?
When
because
you wreck the fucking thing.
Because it has 100,000 miles and they're saying it has 20 on it.
Right.
So I would never, ever buy a bike with it not a stock gauge cluster. I mean, it's just not worth it.
Oh.
You know?
To be fair, you can always just unscrew the cable, too, for 20,000 miles.
Well, you can usually tell. I mean, it's just that, like, if it's between 50 and 500,000 miles, it's kind of a lot harder to tell if it's between, like, 10 and 15. So,
So anyway, he's pretty happy.
It's still a 750, a ZX750 for $1,500 bucks. So.
Yeah, he's looking for a windshield to put on it, and just he's going to be going back and forth to the city. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's
gonna be a supermodel.
I don't know if I would buy
a really cheap bike to commute on, because I'd probably get my ass stranded eventually.
They're but fun. You know, people well, like us that will come pick you up.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
We so we had 8 hours. One more visitor before we get to our big story this week. We had Zoe showed up.
Zoe showed up today?
She did.
Cool.
She looked good. She was really happy to be here. I told her, take it easy, because she kept, like, I put a chair out in the middle of everything for her, but she just kept walking around. I'm like, take it easy. You don't want to, you know, overdo it. She goes, oh, I'm good, I'm good. And like 5 minutes later, Megan's like, can I have the keys to your car? She overdid it. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
But I got a text from her saying that the last hour, the hour she spent at the garage today was the happiest she'd been in over a month. So
Zoe is recovering from surgery, and that is why our podcasts have not been getting put up, even though we have been recording.
So when you finally hear this one a month from now.
So when you hear this one, you'll know why. Because Zoe, our producer, is the only one who knows how to do it. And we're figuring out how to record.
Slowly.
We just haven't figured out how to edit.
Recording, we're working no on problem. It. It's editing and putting the music and stuff.
So.
I'm sure it's not that difficult.
Here's the big news.
Big story.
I will let Megan take this one, and I'll just interject for interesting facts.
Okay. So, ride report from yesterday. I posted up on Facebook, anyone want to go for a ride after I get off work, and Mike responds, and then I get a couple of responses from the Slugs of Anarchy group.
Should we explain why?
So yeah, I was up on campus one day putting my helmet on to leave, and this guy named Liam came up to me. He was on a yellow CBR, and he was like, hey, I'm part of a riding club on campus. It'd be cool if you're interested, here's my phone number, contact me on Facebook and I'll invite you. I'm like, okay, cool. And so I contact him on Facebook, and then it's like, you have been added to group Slugs of Anarchy. And I was like, yes.
Wait, what CBR was it? It was like an F4?
Yes.
What note have you left on that one?
What note have you left on that one? There was no note. It's just that I saw it, you know, back when the guy first got it, and then I remember one day I saw it and it was just like crashed the fuck up.
Yeah, it's
and
very street
fettered. So, yeah. Side note, apparently. Side note,
Lucas has been leaving notes on people's bikes.
Lucas is the anonymous note leaver on people's bikes who.
Once the Slugs figured out it was him,
they're like, what a douchebag. And I'm saying, you should join the Slugs. He goes, I don't think they'll let me now. They're a douchebag. But tell Douglas what your notes say. Let's see what read he gets.
I'll just start with the story. I was getting out of my class, and I went to my bike, and I noticed that next to it there is like a Gixxer 600 or something, and I hadn't seen before, and it's like, oh, okay. You know, it was a kind of fresh-looking bike, so when I looked at it, and I noticed the dude's front tire had that kind of pinhead thing where the front, right in the middle, wears out so much it actually bulges. And I was like, oh my god, this dude's tire is, like, about to explode. And so I wrote a note. I'm like, I really gotta tell this dude so he'll change his tires and not die, because this is kind of egregious.
Are you sure it didn't look like that? Because he never goes in a straight line. He's always using the side of the tire.
No, I am 100% sure that is not the case. Because looking at his back tire, it was like a car tire. But anyway, I wrote the note. I'm like, dude, your tires are, like, seriously worn out, and it's, like, a serious safety hazard. Like, please change them so you don't die. And then I looked at the rest of his bike. I'm like, I should probably just check all of the things. Just gonna
walk around all day.
Because if this dude runs his tires, this, like, in this condition, and he doesn't think there's anything wrong, I better look at his bike and see what else is there. So I went and I looked at his chain. And it was saggier than your grandma's tits. And I'm like...
Sorry, grandma.
And I'm like, wow, okay. So I should just add that to the list. P.S. Your chain is really loose. And then I looked at his axle. You know how, like, on the chain side, it pulls the axle in that direction if you don't adjust it? And it was off by, like, 15 or, like, 20 degrees. Like, something ridiculous. And you could visibly see how crooked it was. And I was like, okay, well, and then I looked at his back tire, and it was, like, so square, I'm sure you could, like, balance a rubber ball on it without it rolling off. And he had chicken strips like 2 inches wide on each side, and I'm like, P-P-P-S, stop being such a squid.
And this has escalated. Apparently Lucas has done this to other bikes up on campus.
I was less mean. That was the only one where I was douchey, because I thought the guy was squid.
Everyone's like, who's this douchebag that's been leaving notes? And we'd been talking about this morning. Me and Robert were talking about this morning before you showed up, and then I left for a little while, came back, and they were like, oh, by the way, that douchebag... He's right here. That's the guy.
Yeah. He is the Moto Bandito.
Yeah.
So, just need to get in some burglar.
But yeah, anyway, so I was...
No, wait, I wanted to explain why they're called the slugs, because for people who aren't here...
UC Santa Cruz, our mascot is the banana slugs.
There you go.
That's why.
So back to your story.
Back to my story. So I posted up on that page that I'm now a part of, I guess. Anyone want to go? And I got a couple of responses, but only Robert was able to show up. And so we met at Pergs at 1, took off at like 1:15, and we decided to go the back way to Alice's, not just 9 to 35. We took Bransell 40 to Mountain View, to Summit, you know, Bear Creek, back to 35. And so we were up on 35 where it's like really hairy and single lane. Bumpy, and we almost got hit by a couple cars, and we get out and we're like, yes, we made it. And you know, me and Robert, we'd lose Mike on the twisties, and then he'd catch up to us on the straightaways. And
and Mike is on a,
what year is that, a 1974?
I think
it's 1974 CB 550. I'm on my Ninja, and Robert's on his, what was it again, the ZX6 or something, like FZ6. And I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and we're like 3 miles away from Four Corners, and I'm like, not seeing Mike. And me and Robert get to Four Corners, and we're kind of looking behind us, and we're like, this doesn't feel good, let's go back. And we go back about 2 miles up 35 and a straightaway. And there's flashing lights. Fire, Cal Fire had shown up, and it's like, oh shit, what happened?
How long were you gone before you noticed you were gone before you came back?
Not very long.
Five minutes, maybe.
That's
quick response.
So we get there. I'll post pictures on the website, but car bumper is totally torn off. There's plastic everywhere, and Mike's CB550. Had flipped through the air and stuck it.
It was
upside down.
It was standing upside down.
It was standing upside down.
It was kind of cool.
gas was pouring everywhere. Bits of the side cover were ripped off. You could the stator was exposed. I mean, it was pretty bad.
Thoroughly thrashed.
Yes, the rims were totally warped. And then Mike is like a ways away, flat on his back. And the firefighters are doing, you know, the C-spine hold. He's still got all his gear on. Mike's okay. But anyways, I'm starting looking at the scene, figuring it out. This chick starts apologizing to me like crazy. And I'm looking at the car. And I'm thinking to myself, like, when did I pass this car on the straightaway? I'm thinking, and I was like, I only passed one car. And what must have happened, so I was on a straightaway, and a car had stopped in the middle of the road. And they had kind of pulled over to the right, kind of. And I slowed down. They were, engine was off. And I kind of honked at them, like, get the fuck out of the road. If you're going to pull over, pull out of the road.
Don't half-pass it, you know.
Yeah, and I went around them, and then...
You went around them on the left.
I went around them on the left,
between the car and the yellow line.
Across the yellow line. Yeah, they had stopped in the middle of the road. And Robert went around them, and we took off. What I think happened is this person was probably lost, not knowing where they were going, pulled back into the lane, and then went to make a left-hand turn.
Without looking.
Well, into a state park entrance. It was like Castle Rock State Park something, or Castle Rock Rock something. And Mike went to go pass. They were probably going slow enough where they weren't on the brakes, because he said he never saw a brake light. And he said he saw the turn signal as she was turning. And so they collided. He went flying through the air, did a somersault, and landed on his back.
That really pissed me off. Like, what's the point of using a turn signal if you do it after you execute the turn?
It's his fault. He shouldn't, you know.
I know it's his fault, but that still pisses me off. You know, just like an anecdote.
It was illegal for me and Robert to pass on the left-hand side as well, over the double yellow line. He just happened to do it at the wrong time.
I think if you see someone driving real slow or, like, stopped or something, you usually should stop and figure out what their deal is. Because they're going to do something unpredictable, probably. So, I've seen it, man.
Yeah. So, Mike, poor Mike, the EMTs showed up after, like, 30, 45 minutes. It was a while. They cut all of his gear off, his clothes off, and he's, like, shivering on the side of the road on 35. He's like, Megan, can you get me some clothes? I'm like, of course, of course. And then I get all the information from the EMT, where are you taking him, all of that. Me and Robert head back into Santa Cruz, and it was probably the worst ride of my entire life. We were going really, really slow. We wouldn't pass a single car. My heart was just, like, because I didn't know how bad it was at the time. Got here to the garage, told Liza, picked up some clothes for him, Liza's clothes, got in the Jeep, and we went back over the hill. Mike had gotten out of the trauma unit by the time we got there. He was in a hallway.
So they took him over to San Jose?
They took him to Santa Clara. Valley Medical. They wanted, when he initially crashed and the report was filed, they actually called for a helicopter to be sent first.
But once
they realized that it wasn't, like, a trauma
trauma,
they canceled the helicopter.
It was the same hospital where Teddy was, the second, his second hospital.
They took him to Stanford.
That was the first one.
Okay.
The second one they took him to for head trauma patients.
When I was talking to the firefighters, they said...
Different building.
Depending on the severity, they would either... air vac him out to Stanford or take him over the hill, depending
on the severity. But he was upright, looking around and talking, right?
Ew, no, Mike?
He wasn't unconscious.
He wasn't unconscious, but he was not moving. He was laying on the ground the whole time. They put him on a board,
right?
Loaded him into the
ambulance. If you're conscious and breathing and you're not bleeding out, they're most likely not going to helivac you.
Yeah, and
they
usually
do
them,
it just to be safe.
And
the
firefighter said when accidents happen up where we were, they have to call the helicopters in.
Just to be safe. Right.
And you're
lucky that you didn't do it. You know how much that shit costs?
Yeah, and Mike the whole time was like, don't take me in a helicopter, don't take... And he kept
you
trying to shake his head.
You can buy insurance.
Yes.
I have it.
How much does it cost a year?
Oh, it's not a lot.
It's
$30.
Yeah.
And if you're on Bay Area Riders Forum, you can actually go look up the thread. It has, you can put in a code to get, like, a discount on it if you're a BARF member. So,
we should get that done.
It's
that
like $30
too.
A year?
Yeah. It's not expensive. It's and honestly, like, you know, my dad was looking into it because he wanted to, you know, make sure I was insured on it. You know, and he talked to his insurance rep, and they're like, well, we insure, you know, like 40% or something, but it's like $150,000, so you'll end up paying
a shitload
of money. So just for $30 a year, I think it's totally worth it. Everyone should sign up. CalSTARS, do it.
And the more people that sign up, the cheaper it's going to get, too.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, Liza and I...
Probably not, but hopefully.
Liza and I were at the hospital for a very long time last night.
We worked our way into the trauma ward with him.
Yes, we got to
go
behind the scenes. We were not in the waiting room. And Mike was put in the area where they put all the people that they needed to keep eyes on. across the hall, there was some dude that kept ripping out his IVs. There's another guy yelling, I want to go home, I want to go home.
Spiders everywhere.
There was like someone snoring really loud. It was just, it was
quite... We were fascinated.
Interesting. You know,
there was another motorcyclist had been brought in, and it was...
There were two, the surgeon
said. Well, okay. There was another guy parked on a gurney behind him in the hallway. He's this little tattooed guy who looked... There were sheriffs, and I thought he was a criminal. I was checking to see if he was
handcuffed
to his bed or something, right?
He was handcuffed.
And then we were asking, like, what did that guy do? He goes, no, he was in another motorcycle accident. I was talking to him. Well, it wasn't a motorcycle. It was one of those, like, 49
like,
cc
another motorcycle
things.
Accident. She stands up, and he's like, oh, no, 49cc, and she sits back.
I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. I'm not going to get talk to him. But there was somebody else who was extremely critical, and so the doctor kept running to go tend to him. It reminded me a lot of Teddy. It
sounded bad.
Touch and go, didn't know
if he'd made it or not. They weren't very. They were like, we'll see about if he makes it or not.
I hope he wasn't at Barfer.
Yeah, that was.
But we did meet other bikers there.
We met a nice CHP officer who came to interview.
Which is funny. I just saw he comes in. He just had a CHP outfit. Came to take the report. And he was just being kind of just very chatty and talking about, what kind of bike did you have?
You know, did stuff you like have? That.
And then I kind of get the vibe, and I look at him and go, what do you ride? And he jumps out from behind the bed, shows me his boots. Yeah. And I'm like, oh. his equestrian boots, because he's a motorcycle cop.
He's a beam. I went,
but what's your other bike? He's like, oh, yeah, well, I have a F-800, too. Or, like, okay. And then another nurse showed up. This big, like, 6'4", giant guy. And he came and started asking Mike about his bike and his accident. And I'm like, oh, what do you ride? It's like, I'm teaching Mike. Like, do you get when people come and show some interest, it's etiquette. You then say, what do you ride?
Right, yeah.
He's like, oh, I have this and that. And he stayed longer than he should have chatting because
he kept
doing that inching out of the room thing, coming back.
Yeah.
So we were making friends and people were helping us out because it was taking so long.
It took so freaking long.
Because he wasn't
critical. All that they did, all that needed done is he got an x-ray, a CAT scan, and then he broke a little bone in his ankle. And the doctor said it's a very interesting fracture. She's really... you don't see it very often. It's not typical. It's not a typical bone you break. For a tiny little broken bone in his ankle, he got a cast all the way up to his knee.
I saw the photo. I don't see the cast, though.
This is before. But that is a picture of his road rash.
Yeah,
I saw that one, too. This was up on Facebook.
Road rash.
Was he wearing a jacket?
Like, yeah, it's right over there.
Yeah. We took it. And his pants are up on the ceiling.
So his jacket just like rode up his back?
And he was like, you know, I kept seeing those little tabs on the bottom that you're supposed to hook up to your belt. He was like, I probably should have done that.
But I want to point out, though, his elbow guards and his back pad in the jacket
did their job.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
His helmet. No, there's like a tiny scratch. His gloves, nothing on them.
How fast did he say he was going?
He said 35, 40 maybe.
I think he was going faster. I mean, I was going like 70 on that straightaway. I think he was probably going faster.
He's probably going to catch up to you, wasn't
he? Yeah,
yeah.
So
he's probably hauling.
They can tell by the ejection
and where they actually land. He went pretty far.
Yeah.
Okay, but... I'm so impressed that the bike stuck the landing.
I know.
How random is that?
Insane. Like I said, I'll post pictures and a little recap on the.
And apparently his tank bag flew with him.
And
it landed next to him.
So at the scene, he's talking to me and he's like, "Can you?" And what I didn't make clear about the scene is the way he landed. He was facing away from his bike, so he had no idea what condition his bike was in the whole time. And he's like,
"Am I right? Okay."
He's like, well, how bad is it? And I was like, well, you know, it's okay. And he's like...
You're talking to him like he just, like, got his legs chopped off. Like, don't look at it. Don't look at it. You're going to be fine. Look away.
Like, he's like, if you could go to my apartment and get some clothes for me, he's like, the keys should be... my apartment keys are in the bike. I was like... I don't think I'm going to be able to get to them. He's like, I don't understand. I was like, don't worry.
Don't think about it.
And then he's all like, Megan, could you see if you could get my tank bag for me? And I'm like looking around the bike. I was like, I don't see it. And then I look and it's parallel with him. It flew with him and landed right next to him. Perfect. But he was like, how bad is it? Is the tank bad? I was like, it's leaking a lot, but it's a custom paint job. It was,
I'd be like, the bike is the least of your worries right now, dude.
It could have been a lot worse.
No, so he messaged me today. He's doing better. He's in pain. He's sore. He's bruised.
Oh, the day after is the worst day.
The day after is the worst day. Yep. He's going to be going back to, he needs an orthopedic surgeon to, for a consultation to see if he needs surgery on his ankle because the
break. The doctor said
the break's in a really weird place,
and the way it is, it's like a rounded bone, and it fractured right down the middle, and that bone rubs against another bone, and so they're worried about the friction rubbing against and maybe separating this fracture and making it so it won't be able to heal. So what the surgeon said that they would do is they'd go in and they'd smooth everything out and then put in some screws or something. Because
you get the calcium buildup too when you
One of the first things she said was,
"You'll have arthritis. You'll have arthritis. Either way, you'll have arthritis." Really? So she was very straightforward.
But you can still ride though. I
mean. Yeah. And Liza's, "But when's he going to be able to dance?"
I said, "But Doc, is he going to be able to dance?
We need him."
And she's like, "Well, yeah. She was And then Mike was like, "But I never could." I'm like, "Thank you, somebody."
But yeah, so we'll find out in about a week from now if he's going to need surgery or not. He messaged me today and just said, "Thank you very much for sticking with him at the hospital. We were there for... We didn't get back until midnight last night."
We found out that a year ago he was in the hospital when his car got totaled, too.
Yeah, someone swerved into the oncoming traffic and hit him, and he spun. And he and his wife, apparently, were both in the hospital.
He's married?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we found out interesting things.
Yeah.
He is 35 years old. He's married.
I was just like, "I'll be his mom." He's like, "No." Yeah.
His wife lives in Arizona.
Okay.
She got a job there and has been there like a year, I think.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
So did they travel or did she...
He said eventually they're probably going to move somewhere else together. But he's a grad student right now. But what else was I going to say? He's on crutches and he's got a million stairs to walk up every day.
I got bored at one point and was fascinated by all the controls on his
bed.
And was
breaking stuff.
And apparently I started lifting something that his leg was on and it started making him uncomfortable. And he's like, no, make it go back. I said,
I don't know
how to make it go back. I'm afraid if I touch it, it'll just go further. And then I started playing with other things and seeing how I could move his bed around. But they had parked the bed too close to the wall and there was apparatus on the wall. And I crunched something on the wall with the bed.
And then
and I'm like,
And the doctor is putting his cast on and doing all the plaster and she leaves a little bit. And I was like, "Ooh. Let's get that. Let's grab it, Megan." I'm like,
"I brought home some of the cast making stuff."
And so Liza like gets it and gets plaster all over yourself. And then you put it in, you wrapped it up and you stuck it in the bag. And then you kept trying to get me to steal bracelets and
bracelets. Oh, yeah. Like the hospital bracelets.
Yeah, yeah. I had a whole stack of them right there on the desk next to us.
And then like,
why would you want them?
And it's like some nurse left like a vial of something. "What is that, Megan? Grab that. I'm like, "No, I'm not grabbing all this." And
are you like trying to steal their morphine or something?
We were there for 8 hours.
Yeah, we were there for a long
morphine,
time.
Please.
Speaking of wristbands, at work today, there was a lady who came to the counter and she's like, "Oh, I just got out of jail this morning. I haven't been in here because I've been in jail for the last 6 months." Like, "Do you have any kind of ID?" No, but my wristband has my photo on it. It's all Santa Cruz County Jail. It's got a shirt up. Name and phone number, name and photo. Right on the wristband. So.
You accepted that, huh?
No. Oh. So you gotta go kick rocks now because you're not gonna, renew and you can't go in.
What I thought was interesting too was the India 44. So I guess every time you get admitted to a trauma unit, they automatically give you a fake name just so they can get the paperwork started and get in because they don't necessarily.
You may not be conscious or not.
Be conscious. Just... So he had on one wristband India 44 and then Mike on the other hand. It was very strange.
That's weird.
But yeah. It was an interesting experience. We explored a lot.
Susie asks a lot to all the people. "Excuse me, CHP officer, why do you wear equestrian boots? Excuse me, registered nurse, why does his name say India 44? See, we were just like...
You must have been bored out of your mind. I don't blame you.
Well, at one point, we pulled a breakfast club and took off through hallways. Now, you have to know this hospital is ginormous. It's like six different buildings connected by these
like
tunnels.
Tubes. It's
and
really
we took off to find food. And just we were bored. And I kind of realized, I think I know where I am. This looks familiar. We go up an elevator and out a hallway and I go, "Wait a minute. I've been here before. Follow me." And we go through these hallways, down this long hallway that's dimly lit. A bunch of the light bulbs are out.
Here's
it looks
Johnny.
Like something from a bad movie. And there's a hallway in the head injury area where Teddy used to be. Cool. And they have all these pictures on the wall of the nurse graduating classes from the last, like, 100 years.
The earliest one I found was, like, 1918 or something like that. Wow. It was pretty cool.
Some of them are pretty sketchy looking, yeah. I have to say. Like, nurse there was Ratchet. A couple Nurse Ratchet.
Nurse Ratchet.
Like,
yeah. Oh, I don't know
And then we... So
well,
then
I
we
was like, she's never been laid. This one's a lesbian.
So then we head back, and we realize that the door we took to get out of the trauma ward into one of the hallways, you need to have a badge to get back in. Because we had talked our way into the ward. I feel bad as we're in there just hanging out. There's a little old lady in a bed who kept asking, excuse me, where is my daughter? Why isn't my daughter here? And they said, well, she's in the waiting room. But I want my daughter here. Well, I'm sorry. We can't have people back here. There's a lot going on, and people will get in the way.
You guys are just
and
like,
I'm just, I'm, I
bed
was
goes
actually.
Up, bed goes down. Bed goes up. Bed goes down.
I know.
When we got into the place, too, we were like looking around. We waylaid this nurse. We're like, can you help me? We've got a friend that's here, or we've got someone that's here. And she was like, oh, the family wants to see him. He wants to see you, right? We're like
yeah,
yeah.
The family.
Yeah, the family.
Yes.
That wants
yes,
to, yeah.
We're the family.
And yeah, he knows.
But so then we were trying to get back, and we realized the door to where we wanted to be, we couldn't get in, and we weren't going to knock.
So we just waited. And
so then I said, Megan, let's see if we can get back in without asking for help. And there's hallways everywhere. It's a giant maze of rooms and hallways. And we just took off like the Breakfast Club, just going down here, through here. And we did. We managed to get ourselves back into the trauma ward. We were quite proud.
EMT.
We went into the EMT emergency entrance.
Naughty.
We just kind of stood there and they opened the door for us. So it worked.
Be like, thanks, guys.
If you look like you're supposed to be there. Like, we weren't looking like, is this the right place? We were just like, oh, why isn't this opening?
Yeah.
Open this door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were more like that. I was like,
oh, that's how you get into the paddock seats at the races, too.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here.
So it was quite the adventure.
So we immediately start asking Mike what his next bike is going to be.
Oh, good. So, yeah, that's the other question. Like,
and then
how...
that's the other thing I wanted to say. He sent me a message today asking if I'd open up the garage for him sometime this week because his insurance will drop his bike off here whenever he
wants. Right. Okay, so I had said to him last night, I said, here's the deal. They charge you every day your bike sits in storage. So call me in the morning. I'll be glad to get the trailer. Let's go get your bike out right away before you get ass raped too badly. He called me at 8:45 in the morning and he said, well, I don't think we need to pick it up. I talked to my insurance company and they're going to cover the towing and they're going to cover towing it and the storage and towing it to my garage, aka your garage. He goes, and anyway, it's already up to $540.
He said he's enough to pay a $250 deductible, and the rest we'll get.
$540.
That's $250 for the bike and towing and everything, right?
They charged $400 for the towing because they said it was a four-hour rescue.
All they have to do is hook the hook on it and drag it up. It's not like they need to keep it nice.
Do they have to pick up all the little pieces?
Jeez.
How was that a four-hour tow job?
Well, that's one quarter of an hour to tow it up, and then that's an hour's... smoking, an hour going drinking, an hour...
Plus, they wanted to charge an extra, like, $95 to pick it up on a Sunday. Well, wait a minute. How much are you charging us per day to store it? You're charging me for the day to store it, or you're charging me to come get it today.
We're charging you for this phone call, too. That's an extra $150.
So, but fortunately, his insurance will pay for it, but...
it'll be interesting to see how it looks.
How much of the...
When it comes back.
The bike... It's nice, but it's not worth it.
Well, here's what
amount.
I think. If the frame is good and the engine is good. Now, there was oil on the ground, but, I mean, my rat bike got, the engine case.
Side cover.
Yeah, and that may be it. We don't know.
He's going to have to buy it back from the insurance.
No,
if they
the bike isn't insured.
Oh, bike's not insured.
Bike is not insured.
Okay. That's where I'm lost here.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I said, if that is good... then, hey, we can find a front end from something. You can, you know, find another tank.
Yeah, put a Gixxer 600 front end on that thing.
Yeah.
Woo! You could turn it into, you know, a cafe or a flat tracker or what do you want
wheelie,
it to be?
Wheelie machine.
It's a Boso clean bike. Palette right now. It can be whatever you want it to be. So, you know, that's one thing. But I think I'm hoping if the engine and the frame is okay, I assume the front end is, you know.
The front end's fucked.
And dude, we know the front wheel is
The wheel is dented in, so, I mean, his forks have got to be dented.
Yeah.
And like I said, there was exposed wire. There was shit everywhere. I didn't really want to get too close because there was exposed wire and there was gas pouring out of it and everything. And the whole time I was there, I was like, firefighters, there's fire hazard. What are you doing? There were like 3 fire trucks there. I was like, someone should be doing something about
I mean, look at that bike I built. I threw away the front end and you can replace all that. So he'll have to decide. I want to see what it looks like and see. I think if the engine is done too, then maybe you sell.
Start saving for another bike.
Maybe you sell the frame and the title, or just the title to somebody who, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. But so we were asking, so what's your next bike going to be? And he.
That nurse really got into that too. That I know. That's pretty funny.
He said, well, I was on Craigslist today or last night. Did you see that Magna for like $800?
And me, you, and the nurse were like,
eh. Yeah, no. Yeah. I told Megan, I said.
The VF4, right?
Yeah, I think so. I told Megan, I said, he's been the slow guy in the group for the last few rides. He's probably ready for a new bike anyway.
He's probably not going to be wanting a fast bike for a while after that crash.
He's probably not going to be wanting
He's going to want a tank.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, I don't know if you want a Magna. He wants a gold Goldwing. He's got all these crazy ideas. I hear Moti's
selling a Magna.
It's not a Magna.
He wants a wing?
Dude, what you might call it? Ascot.
The wing is for real pros, man. The wing is for old pros. For the dudes who run like a group on the track on the wing, and they're like...
It's the same thing. It's like, figure out what you really want it for, and then...
Yeah.
You can get
we
the
can
bike
go from there.
But he loves Triumphs, and the nurse was trying to talk him into a Triumph.
Yeah.
I turned to the nurse and said, 2 words, grad student. And he went, "Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. No."
Yeah.
On another side note, speaking of, tell us what you want the bike to do and we'll tell you what's the right bike. Sage on his CB, or no.
It's a ZX6R.
ZX6R death
ZX6R
machine.
ZX6R Frankenbike.
You know, I said to him, I said, you know, actually, if you're using that for commuting around here and carving the hills, you know, the Ninja 250 might actually be the perfect bike for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, if you're not heading up to the city to go clubbing and stuff like that, I mean, I know you keep thinking you need this awesome crotch rocket racing bike, blah, blah, blah.
He is too inexperienced for that power.
You might be better off with a Ninja 250.
Yeah, he needs something he can, like, wring its neck, you know, learn how to ride really aggressively on without, you know, his mistakes having as much gravity, you know?
But I realize that is who that bike is perfect for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've always said, around town, canyon carving.
Well, donut's going.
Yeah, that's what she said. She's like, just buy donuts.
You know why he's not riding it? He let the reg expire.
No, he's not riding it because he has an F3.
Which, okay.
Yeah.
That too.
I didn't need a new bike.
I don't know why he hasn't sold it yet. I don't see him going back to that bike for any reason.
I don't know. So I think that's it. Is anyone else have any news or topics they want to share?
Butthurt that my CVR is still not working.
Your other CVR.
My fast, fun bike that's actually mine, not the bro bike, my broder cycle. It's my brother's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was hanging out with some dudes on Saturday. Or no, it was Friday. And we were talking about, like, squid bikes. And we came up with the term broder cycle to describe like a clapped-out stunt bike that's, like, all different parts. And, like, a Street Fighter, and it's just, like, weird. And so we call that a broder cycle.
Nice.
Day of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Road Report.
You want to take that one?
Yeah.
You take it.
It was fun.
Okay, that was good. Yeah. So,
I really wish I was able to go, but I was, like, stuck working on crap for school, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Give your ride report, Douglas.
We did, oh, geez.
Do you want me to say the route?
Oh, geez.
No, I got it.
Okay.
So one to Bonnie Doon, to Martine, to Pine, Ice Cream Grade, Empire Grade, Jameson Creek, 236, Bear Creek, Summit, SoCal San Jose, and onto SoCal.
So the usual.
The usual.
Yeah, that's okay. Pretty hardcore.
It was a really fun ride. Only one person went down on guess which road?
Jameson Creek.
Yeah. The gods of Jameson Creek.
When I went.
It was a young lady on a brand new bike. What was she riding?
Honda. It was a Honda.
Yeah, I heard it was. I didn't see all this. I was long gone.
It was a Honda. She took a corner too wide, hit some pine needles, and
just washed out. But she got up and got back on the bike after a few minutes and continued the ride and then just took off when he got back into Boulder Creek. But other than that, it was really fun. Everybody had a good time. There was a few points where there was nobody behind me. I was surprised that there was, you know, not a few faster riders behind me.
Such a stunner.
Yeah. Wow, that's me.
You need me to ride with you so I can put your ego back.
I mean, like, I'm not sure whose ego is bigger right now.
I just whip them out. Let's get this over with.
measuring tape.
Here's a tape measure.
Yeah, we'll post pictures. And then we had barbecue
Camel.
At the vet's hall. It was camel meat.
Mystery meat barbecue.
Not camel Those hump. It was actually really good.
It was really good. Bill made like a curry.
Yeah.
Oh my so god.
Good. Where do you buy camel?
Like, online. We bought it online. You can get exotic meats online.
Yeah. That sounds really weird. Let's order some meat online that may or may not be camel.
Well, they send it to you and you're like, fuck, no, this is not camel, man.
2 years ago, it was crickets.
Crickets. Cricket and then tacos. Antelope last year.
Oh, yeah. Man, I ate crickets before. It's not that bad.
Cricket you know, tacos.
They're crunchy, though. I mean, that's what you have to get used to, the crunchiness.
So the ride was good.
Ride was good. Food was good. And then we did short chariot racing.
Which we've been building up, talking about for months.
Right.
Our chariots were good.
Yeah, you cheated, though, so I won.
I didn't cheat. I didn't know he fell off. Uh-huh. I stopped as soon as I fell.
Sure.
Whether you knew or not,
so
you still drove without him on there.
First time we went around and did our little test run and hit that speed bump, I guess he got vaulted off. Yeah,
did this guy weigh like 10 pounds?
Chaz weighs about 110.
And you had...
Like, how did you
not Eason, who's taller than me. He's like 6'3".
Yeah.
He's tall.
And we did two races. The first one, I won, except they said they penalized me because I went too far of a distance without a monkey on my crate. Because I didn't realize he had fallen off, but I stopped and waited. He ran, jumped on, and then we went. But they said that they penalized me for that. Then we did the second race, and I think Doug cheated.
How did I cheat?
I don't remember. But I remember trying to kick your monkey as he went by.
I just remember being butthurt.
It was very, very close. I remember it was very close. You always go wide into a corner. Cut in. No, you don't, because I always pass you on the inside.
Oh, my favorite part.
But then you're going too fast, and that's it's
Doug late apex is it.
My favorite part was when Chaz rode into the bush.
He was until the races are over. And then I'm like, Chaz, let's.
So we're off the chariots, and now we're just doing mini bike races.
Yeah.
Chaz went too fast around the corner, and couldn't make the turn and went into the bamboo on the mini bike.
And they went to go leave and they're like, where's the fucking keys to the car? It was in the bushes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
That was pretty funny.
That was fun. And then it was a good slow race. Who won?
Adrian
won, yeah.
You were second.
I was
right?
So close. And then I snubbed
it. Put your butt down.
I snubbed it and then the like, bike stopped. And
yeah, so it was a good time. I have to say, though, I think when we did the chariot races in the parking lot over here without a speed bump in the middle, I thought that was a pretty good track.
That was fun.
Because we could do a wider oval.
We just had to keep stopping because of cars.
I know. We need to just make that our track. Well, since Lucas can't sit still,
give you a stress ball to
should
squeeze.
We wrap this up?
Sure.
So let's remind people to go to our website, motorcyclesandmisfits.com.
And then our email us at recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com.
I want to do a shout out for my YouTube channel. I have some videos related to the garage, you guys want to see that, or just some random insanity.
You put the video of me towing
you. Yeah, Liza towed me when my F3's reg wreck exploded, and so that was fun. So there's a video of that on there, and you can check that out. Crazy road rage shit, fast riding, whatever. It's Tenebrous Abyss, TenebrousAbyss, so check it out.
And I'm going to put a link to that on our website, too.
I came up with a new name for the towing service.
Oh, yeah.
The Trail 70 Tug and Tow.
We're like putt and tow.
Tug and chug.
Exactly. And, yeah, thank you for listening. Please email us, contact us. You can also find us on Facebook at Re-Cycle Santa Cruz. And you can kind of see what we're all doing and what's going on.
Email us for a free t-shirt.
Yeah, if you want to see pictures of Mike's crash, I'm going to upload them tonight. So
post a comment on our web zone.
And yeah, don't wear flip-flops.
Time to go watch Walking Dead.
And it's time to go watch Walking Dead.
You guys go watch.
All right, thank you very much.
Douglas.
Megan.
Lucas.
This is Liza.
You want to ride it, Tetsuo? All right, let's hit it. I don't see how you can ride something crazy like that, man. If you want it so bad, then steal one yourself.